Thank you very much. I believe the fact is mainly that I'm one of the last remaining of the old timers, and I owe a great deal to my friend Louis Untermeyer, who from 1925 to about 1940 was a great anthologist, every couple of years bringing out a new anthology of current poetry. And therefore, since he was very generous with me, giving me access to a captive audience in the colleges, which before 1940 had turned into also a captive audience in the high schools. So I always remember him gratefully. I have listed the poems I should like to read, and a great many of them use a first personal pronoun, but it doesn't necessarily mean that this is a truthful record of some experience of mine. I think there are precious few writers of fiction or poetry who can possibly rely on merely their own experience to fill out the work that they are attempting to write. They have to, if they start with an experience of their own, they presently see that it's not getting anywhere, and they have to call in the imagination to enlarge it. And after 3 days of strife with it, they have forgotten that it's their own experience. They're just trying to think it out in the terms of a fiction. And so the winter remembered, the first poem I'm reading is, I'm sorry to say, not an autobiographical poem. The young man seems to be in Alaska or some such place. This is a sort of a love poem. Two evils, monstrous either one apart, possessed me and were long and loath at going. A cry of absence in the heart, and in the wood the furious winter blowing. Think not when fire was bright upon my bricks, and past the tight boards hardly a wind could enter, I glowed like them, the simple burning sticks. Far from my cause, my proper heat and center, better to walk forth in the frozen air and wash my wound in the snows. That would be healing, because my heart would throb less painful there, being caked with cold and past the smart of feeling. And where I walked, the murderous winter blast would have this body bowed. These eyeballs are streaming, and though I think this heart's blood froze not fast, it ran too small to spare one drop for dreaming. Dear love, these fingers that had known your touch and tied our separate forces first together were 10 poor idiot fingers, not worth much, 10 frozen parsnips hanging in the weather. But that's what he tells her when he has returned to her. And so that's not a tragic poem.